that hope has a name. And today we're going to be hearing some stories about people sharing that hope, some encountering stories. And one of the stories is based on a story book. So to start us off, I'm going to read this book to you. And grown-ups, you'll be able to see it too. Good morning. We just finished celebrating a wonderful holiday, right? What was it? Christmas. And of course, we didn't really finish celebrating. We get to celebrate Christmas for quite a long while because it's such a special occasion. So I brought this story. Does this say Christmas to you?
No.
Oh, it's true. It's not really a very Christmassy story, although in some ways we might say it is. But I would like to read this story to you today, and then I'll tell you the story of why we're reading this one. Every year at springtime, Rebecca Estelle planted just enough seeds in her garden to grow vegetables for the long winter. She planted carrots and beans, tomatoes and peas, corn and rutabagas. She grew a little bit of everything, except pumpkins. Rebecca Estelle hated pumpkins. When she was a little girl, money had been tight. For an entire month, all there had been to eat were pumpkins. Baked pumpkins, steamed pumpkins, boiled pumpkins, stewed pumpkins, mashed pumpkins, rotten pumpkins. Breakfast pumpkins, lunch pumpkins, dinner pumpkins, enough pumpkins. When things finally improved and there was more money to buy food, Rebecca Estelle decided she would never eat pumpkins again. Or even look at one. Not ever. And she didn't. Until one autumn day, long after Rebecca Estelle's hair had turned snowy white, she was raking the leaves that fell each fall from her black walnut tree, and her cat, Esmeralda, was scattering them just as quickly. All of a sudden, the pumpkin truck passed by. Oh, she heard it coming, and she knew what it was. It rumbled by at this harvest time every year. She turned her back and concentrated on picking up the last fallen leaf. She managed to ignore the truck until, splat, an enormous pumpkin tumbled off the truck and smashed into slimy orange smithereens all over the edge of her yard. "Come back here and get this pumpkin," she yelled. But the driver sped away. "Well, I won't touch it," Rebecca Estelle insisted, getting her shovel from the barn. "And I won't look at it," she added, as she shoveled dirt on top of the broken pumpkin pieces. "I won't think about that pumpkin ever again," she declared. And she didn't until spring, when Rebecca Estelle was admiring the new sprouts in her garden. She noticed Esmeralda playing in some big green leaves growing at the edge of the yard. "How curious," she said, going over to inspect them. "I didn't plant anything there." Then Rebecca Estelle remembered the pumpkin truck and the slimy pumpkin smithereens. "Pumpkins!" she cried in disgust. "Come out of there, Esmeralda. I will not water those plants. I will not tend them. I will ignore them, and they will die." She picked up Esmeralda and stomped inside. But a week later, when Rebecca Estelle peered out her window, she saw that the vines had grown. She tramped to the barn and got her garden tools and went to work on the pumpkin vines. She cut and dug until not one was left growing. "There, now there will be no pumpkins." She smiled and went back inside. But the next week, when she was weeding the garden, she noticed that the pumpkin vines had grown back. Rebecca Estelle marched inside and snapped the curtains shut. "The only thing to do is to ignore them. They won't grow if I don't take care of them," she muttered. So rain or shine all spring and summer, she never looked out the front window. She used only the back door and never even glanced toward the vines. Neither did Esmeralda. Rebecca Estelle ignored the vines so well that in time she forgot why she was not using the front door. Until one autumn day, when she and Esmeralda went to rake the leaves that fell each fall from the black walnut tree in the front of the house. Pumpkins! Rebecca Estelle shrieked. Pumpkin vines had twisted under the bushes, over the bird bath, through the porch rails, and onto the rocking chair. The entire yard was a sea of plump, round pumpkins. Rebecca Estelle could ignore them no longer. She plopped down on the pumpkin nearest her, putting her hands over her face. "Whatever will I do, Esmeralda?" she cried. "How will I get rid of this many pumpkins?" She thought, and she thought. Her mind went to all of the pumpkins she had eaten as a young girl when pumpkins were the only food her family had. "Well, we can't let them stay here," she told Esmeralda. "Some people might need these pumpkins. And I suppose there are folks crazy enough to like them. We'll give them away." She marched off to get her wheelbarrow. Rebecca Estelle struggled to lift the first pumpkin, and then the second and the third. She huffed and puffed as she wheeled the loaded wheelbarrow onto the lane. "Oh, I'm too tired to deliver all these pumpkins now," Rebecca Estelle grumbled. She mopped her brow with her apron and wondered what to do next. "Perhaps if I bake them into pies, they will be easier to deliver. Such a nuisance." So she went to work. She scooped the slimy seeds out of the pumpkins and cut away the shells. After she boiled the pumpkin meat, she mixed it with eggs and milk, sugar, flour, cinnamon, nutmeg, and cloves to make rich pies. Then Rebecca Estelle made pumpkin tarts, pumpkin muffins, pumpkin cakes, pumpkin bread, pumpkin pudding, pumpkin cookies, until pumpkin dishes spilled out of every cupboard, drawer, and cubbyhole, and the seeds were a mountain in the corner. "Well, that's the first batch," Rebecca Estelle said, dusting her floury hands. "Now to deliver them." She put the wheelbarrow outside the kitchen door and loaded it with pumpkin treats. When it was full, just the thought of delivering all those pumpkin dishes made Rebecca Estelle tired. "If only people would come get them," she said. Then she had an idea. Rebecca Estelle whirled around and hurried back into the house for a kitchen knife. "This should get people to come," Rebecca Estelle cried. She took her knife and sat in the middle of the pumpkin patch. She carved a smiling face on a nice round pumpkin, a scary snaggletooth face on a tall, thin pumpkin, and boo on a short, squat pumpkin. She was so busy carving pumpkins, she hardly noticed how dark it was getting. When she could no longer see, she went to the shelf on the back porch and got a sack of candles she kept for emergencies. "If this doesn't get people to come here, we'll have to deliver them ourselves," she muttered to Esmeralda. Rebecca Estelle peered into the darkness for a long time. She didn't see anything. She watched still until finally she saw a light. Faint at first, then brighter, and then more lights bobbing through the night. "Here they come," she shouted. "Esmeralda, let's heat some apple cider." Young and old, everyone in town came. "Rebecca Estelle, we thought you hated pumpkins," they said. "We saw your jack-o'-lanterns from the end of the road and came for a closer look." "I was hoping you would," said Rebecca Estelle. "Where did you ever find all these pumpkins?" people asked. "Oh, I came by them quite by accident," Rebecca Estelle said, smiling. "Would you like some pumpkin pie? There's plenty." She winked at Esmeralda. Everyone enjoyed the pumpkin pie and the cider and had a good time. And so did Rebecca Estelle. And when they were ready to go home, she made sure each carried a jack-o'-lantern, a bag of seeds for roasting, and a pumpkin treat. Rebecca Estelle gave away everything that reminded her of the pumpkins she had always hated, until all that remained was a handful of seeds. Those she tucked snugly into her pocket, where they would be safe until planting time next spring. She's going to plant pumpkins next year. Why do you think she's going to plant pumpkins next year? What do you think, Brantley?
Because I think he tried the pumpkin pie and she liked it.
Maybe she ended up liking it. We didn't read that she ever ate any, but we did read that she had a good time. What made her have a good time? What do you think Rebecca Estelle enjoyed in this story? Do you think she liked having all those people come to her house? Do you think she liked getting to share her pumpkin treats? I think she liked getting to spend that evening with so many of her neighbors. Well, this story was one that I had really liked. And then I met a new gentleman who came to our church. We've had about a dozen people in the last few months show up and become part of our family, which has been really cool. So we're excited about that. And one of them, his name is Tom Lease, and he and I were talking, and there was somehow pumpkin bread involved, and he said, oh, yeah, we've had a lot of pumpkins in our house. And I said, oh, really, do you like pumpkins? And he said, well, have you heard of the book Too Many Pumpkins? And I said, I love that book. And he said, you're kidding, nobody's ever heard of that book. By the way, we now have two copies of this in our church library downstairs, so if anybody wants to read this book at home, you can. And Mr. Tom Lease said, well, my son and I liked to read that book when he was a little boy. And the year that he was about 12, by the way, Mr. Tom Lease was going to be here today so he could tell you this story, and his health has been bad all week. He has been in and out of the hospital, and I would love if you would include him on your prayer list. And so you have to settle for me telling you the story as I understood it from him, and I would love for you to ask him questions about it when you see him again. He said, when his son was 12, the idea came up that, you know, maybe we could do something kind of like Rebecca Estelle did. Maybe not exactly the same, but kind of like that. And so they thought about ideas, and they decided to make lots and lots of pumpkin treats and sell the pumpkin treats, and they collected the money, and they used that money to sponsor Christmas for a family that they knew. The parents gave them a list of ideas, of gifts that the children would enjoy, and they bought gifts and shared it. Till another year, they had more than one family. And as the years went on, they began also providing Christmas dinner. And by the end, Tom said, on their seventh and final year of doing this, they kind of provided whole Christmases to families based on pumpkin treats because they had been inspired by the book Too Many Pumpkins. And I said, what a cool story, Tom. You need to tell that story at church. And he said, I would love to. And now this morning he's not able to be here. So I got to tell the story to you instead. And like I said, this book is in your library. So children, thank you for staying around to hear this story. And you may go down to Children's Church now or back to your grown-ups. Children's Church is available for all the children age 3 through grade 3. And anyone who wants to go there is dismissed now. You know, Tom's story of how they were inspired by this book to encounter neighbors, both through the baking and through the selling and through the contacting families who might be blessed by sharing in the proceeds from this and making those connections. Tom's story was, to me, as soon as I heard it, a story of encountering. It didn't come out of this year's encounter theme. This happened quite a few years ago. But it still struck me as a pretty cool way of being inspired by something that is actually a secular story and using it to find a way to encounter and bless others, using it to find a way to say, hope has a name, and I want to share that hope with you. So we decided that today, as we turn the leaf between one year and another year, we would take this time to share some stories of encounter. And this next person was really hard to convince to share because Janet kept saying, that's not really a story. Like, that's just a little thing. Like, that's just what I do. It's not a story. And I said, Janet, that's the point, is that we want to be able to share stories that are big stories, like the pumpkin story is a pretty big story, and stories that are little stories, and stories that are old stories, and stories that are new stories. We want to be able to say that what you do naturally, Janet, just out of who you are, might inspire someone else who hasn't yet thought of a simple way to encounter neighbors. So, can you tell me a little bit about some of your visits to your neighbor's house?
Okay. Excuse me. I enjoy, in the spring, I like to go to Oak Grove and pick strawberries. I've done that for years. I love it. And so I always pick more than I should. And so I go to some of my neighbors and like to share them with them, and they always like that. And so then I make strawberry jam and homemade applesauce, and I take to several of her neighbors. And one of the neighbors helped Paul when he was not able to do snow the other year, and so I took some cookies over to the guys next door. And also up the street, another lady has a pretty big garden, and so she loved Springer's seed potatoes, and she would plant potatoes in her garden and then share with some of the rest of the neighbors.
Very cool. Tell us a little bit about who these neighbors are or who they are to you.
Okay, one of them is an older widow, a lady next door, and the other ones are across the street that we've become friends with ever since we moved in there, and we do things together occasionally, and get each other's mail and those kind of things.
What struck me when she was sharing this, not a story, of course, to her, is that this, you know, we've become friends. And as many of you know, Paul and Janet haven't lived there forever. They've lived there now, probably a decade?
13 years.
A little more than a decade now. And through these little contacts have begun to establish friendships with the people around them. To some of you, that is completely natural. That's what you do. To others, we may have neighbors we don't know. Even people who live in neighborhoods can be lonely. So the way she just says, oh, they're people who have become friends. Yes, they've become friends because you and Paul have been intentional about encountering them, about sharing with them, about making them friends. Our theme for this year, and thank you, Janet, for letting me twist your arm to have you share that story. Our theme for this year is encounter. And we have been talking about encountering God and each other and neighbors. And we see this as the outgrowth of the Great Commission, which was given by Jesus to all of us as a command to go and tell and share and obey and make disciples. And these simple acts of sharing love are one way to approach that. So today I have a few people we're going to share, including Tom, who's not able to be here, and Janet, and two others yet, but also a couple stories. First of all, lots of stories have come in, and we won't share them all because I assume you didn't pack lunch. But a couple of people who shared stories and didn't feel comfortable sharing them, but they were willing to let me share them anonymously. So one came in just this week, and it was about a slate hiller who discovered a woman who was living out of her vehicle, not far from where this person travels by. And so she decided to visit her, and she took along some gift cards to a local grocery store and drugstore and some Christmas cookies and a few non-perishable food items. And she said, you know, while we were together, we just chatted for a little while, and I got to learn where she had lived before and what her former line of work was. And I'm reading this and thinking, you're beginning to learn her story. Everyone has a story. How precious to get to learn someone's story. So this late hiller shared her contact information. She shared some offers for help should they be wanted. She shared a promise to return. And as she told this story to me, she wrote this. She said, I told her she was my neighbor and I really cared about her. Please pray with me about how to help her. I want to respect her and not inflict my feelings about housing on her. And I loved this example of encountering this neighbor with love and not with judgment. and with friendship and not with a presumption of knowing exactly what would be needed, and with a keen awareness that in these encounters, we need God's guidance and we need God's wisdom. So, as you add Tom Leese to your prayer request, I also ask that you add this anonymous Slate Hiller who said, "Pray for me as I encounter a neighbor, one of God's children." So why do we tell stories like this? I would suggest that we tell stories like this because they glorify God and because they kindle other lights. If you look at today's scripture, it's from Matthew 5, 14 to 16. And it says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." This scripture, "A City on a Hill," caught the attention of our quizzers last year, and they selected it for the back of their shirts. It drew their attention because of our placement up on this hill. And yet, we are hidden in many ways. I've heard people who are new-ish to Slate Hill, after they're here for a little bit, they say, "This is a great church. How is it that I've lived in the area for a couple of years and I never even heard of it?" We're working on that. Actually, we're quite intentionally working on that in the last couple, in the next few months, but we still have a long way to go. And often when people are trying to come to our church for the first time for an event or something like that, they will drive right by the driveway because we are on a hill, but we're awfully hard to see from the road. Helping people find this particular city on a hill matters, but what matters more is being the kind of light of the world that helps people find Jesus. Our light, really God's light flowing through us, should be evident to those around us, as is the case for Janet's neighbors. Through our encountering them, others should be lit by a bit of God's light, a bit of the light of the world whose birth we just celebrated should fall onto our neighbors. And this scripture addresses both our call to be light and the value of our actions bringing glory to God. We tell stories because, just like on Christmas Eve, you remember we all hold the candle, but my candle is not shining, right? It's just a candle. Just like on Christmas Eve, sometimes we need our candles to be lit, right? We need somebody else's story. We need somebody else's wonder. We need somebody else's example of hope to bring light to our candles. And I hope that as we're hearing these stories today, indeed our candles are lit in brighter ways as we are inspired to follow God's nudgings. But as this scripture tells us, we also tell these stories to glorify God. After all, they are God's stories. I appreciate the humans who have followed God's nudging and taken these steps and had these encounters, but the opportunities were provided by God, and the ideas and the energy were provided by God, and the love that flows through these stories finds its source in God. So we tell these stories not to bring glory to ourselves, but to say, "Wow, God, thank you for giving us neighbors to love. May our love for them bring glory to you." A couple weeks ago in Encounter Group, Ben was talking about a neighbor of theirs named Luna that they've been neighboring as a family, and I was hoping maybe you would tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. So my daughter Jane has been asking about if she can have a play date with Luna, and this was last year. And so we said, "Yeah, sure." And Luna is just one of her friends from school, a classmate. And so I had heard about Luna for a while. And so we eventually just invited Luna over. And yeah, it was really neat just to be able to, connect with her and kind of learn her story a little bit. And then over the summer, we got together a little bit. But then things get busy, and in the fall, this school year, Jane asked again, and during this, during church here, we were just thinking about Encounter and different opportunities, and so Luna kind of came to our minds first, there's a few different things, but Luna was one of them. And so it's been neat to be able to just kind of reach out and just get to know her. But what I've learned is that these opportunities are right here in front of us. And it's not like we have to go searching very far. Usually they're just like, they're right next door. They're through our kids, through friends, work, you know, at work, or it's amazing how many opportunities are there. I think for me, I just need to be open and obedient to the kind of still small voice that's nudging. And also that during these encounters, I feel blessed just as much as maybe even more than Luna and her family. You know, we're providing some opportunities for her to, you know, get outside and play and different things like that. But, you know, she's providing just a lot of other things to us and just showing God's goodness. Luna's name actually means moon, so it's a light, actually. So we're talking about light of the world here. And then the other thing is that I feel honored to be able to share and allow God's light to like flow through me and through my daughters. So it's kind of a humbling thing just when I sit back and think about that. So yeah, we're excited to continue to invest in Luna and her family. And, you know, we're excited to invite her. I guess like one of the things we found out is like the only night that she's free, because she's involved in some other things like after school stuff, it might be Wednesday, which is Wednesday night out here. So we're excited to invite her to that and continue to you know, invest in her and her family.
Thanks, Ben. Some of you here have also showed us what it means to invest in a single person or a single family for years and years on end, and to begin to grow those relationships and to show the blessing that comes from that. And so I just think, you know, when we see these things and we see them happen over time, it kind of becomes like wallpaper, you know, like when you actually draw it to mind, oh yeah, that's a great thing, I should maybe think about that. But we need to be reminded of the new stories too, the seeds that are just being planted and are just starting to sprout. Because hearing Ben share in Encounter Group, and there was another story that Dan was sharing, and some other things that have come up in our Encounter Group have made me think, yeah, I need to figure out how to light my candle in different ways. And, you know, it strikes me, you said you don't have to look for the opportunities. Well, Rebecca Estelle didn't have to look for the pumpkins either, right? They were just there. And it was her willingness to do something with those pumpkins that brought about the joy, that even made her decide at the end of the story to keep a few seeds to perhaps be able to plant pumpkins again next year. Some of these stories that we're hearing seem pretty successful. Like, wow. But I'm happy to say I've also heard stories that people have attempted some encounters and it kind of falls flat. We need those stories too, because those stories encourage others of us who are finding that it kind of falls flat. And some of you that I've talked with recently, you know that's been my experience in recent months, and it's been a little frustrating for me. We've tried to establish some relationships and go on outings and have people over, and even in the last few months, I was able to have a couple of pretty good spiritual conversations with a friend who is not a believer. And as far as I can tell, this is going absolutely nowhere. I mean, just nothing. And others of you have shared, too, sometimes. You know, you try, and you keep throwing out the fishing line, and you keep walking over and walking across the street and journeying together, and you're like, nothing is happening. And Evelyn has a story about a situation where for many years, it appeared as though the door was shut and the light wasn't getting through. So tell us about who that person is.
That person is Nancy, my sister-in-law. My brother and her have been separated for about 10 years, and I've stayed in touch with Nancy. Whether I was living down south, it didn't matter where I was living, I stayed in touch with her, and by phone or writing, whatever. But when I moved back to Pennsylvania, we got together for lunch one time, and I knew Nancy had issues, like all of us. And so we'd call each other, we'd talk girl-lady issues and family issues, and I had this burden in my heart for her that she was hurting inside, and you could tell from the outside also that she was hurting. And I invited her out for lunch one day, and we had a nice chat. And then after that day, it's like a couple days later, God said, listen to Nancy. I heard God's voice tell, just listen. Don't say anything. Just listen. So I called her up and talked to her. And I think we were on the phone about almost 2 hours talking. And she just needed somebody to talk to. And for years, I've been giving her this advice. Nancy, you can't keep worrying about family things and making yourself sick. You got to turn it over to God, like I did. I said, God lifted my burdens and set me free from my worries about my kids and everything. And she was having issues with the children, and she was worried about her grandchildren and everything. So when we were talking, I called her, she was talking, and I just thought, thank you, Lord, just let her keep talking. And then when she was done, I said, Nancy, remember in Matthew 6, it says, do not worry, but let God handle things. God will take care of it. And she goes, yeah. Well, we stayed in touch by texting every once in a while after that talk. And then one day I called up. I got to invite Nancy to church. Invite her here to Slay Hill. Well, I went to make the phone call, and she picked up just like that. I was like, I was just getting ready to call you. And it's like, wow. And she says, I want to invite you to church. And I didn't know she was really attending a church somewhere. And so she told me about this church. And I said, oh, okay, I never heard of it. And it was over in the west end of Mechanicsburg. And the congregation, well, it wasn't a church, it was a congregation of church. But she goes, yeah, we're meeting in a new building, an old church in Dillsburg. And I live in Franklin Town, so Dillsburg is 2 miles away. She says, I'm inviting you to our first service there in Dillsburg. And I said, oh, okay. And I said, okay, I'll go. I'll come and join you. Because I was curious what kind of church it was and what she's getting into. And so I went. And I was like, okay, what day is that? Is that one of the weekends I have to work? Or am I off that day? Well, praise the Lord, I was off that weekend. So I went to the church. It was raining and just miserable outside, but the weather was, I felt good. And I walked inside, and everybody was very welcoming, very friendly and loving, and a good Christian church. And I gave Nancy a hug, and she had her oldest granddaughter with her, who's about 12, I think. And I saw this radiant glow from Nancy. I mean, she's always looked sad and discouraged and in pain. But this time, this Sunday, I walked into church and saw her, and she was relaxed. She looked happy and just like a new Christian would glow. So I was just happy to share the service with her. We had a nice fellowship together, and I'm happy for it. And I'm just keeping her in my prayers because she's doing a wonderful job with her children and grandchildren and teaching them the Christian path, the Bible, the way the Bible wants us to teach them. So I just praise the Lord for what God's done for her.
So it's a helpful reminder to us that we are called to be patient. We are called to be obedient. You've heard us say multiple times this year, we're not called to be successful in any way that we can measure. We are simply called to be obedient. And God works at transformation. So it was exciting for Evelyn to be able to share with us, after all these years of seeing her carry these burdens and seeing her carry this hurt, to see that now lifted as she has begun to come to know Jesus. You know, it's a beautiful reminder of the wonder that it is to see someone who had not known life with Jesus and then comes to know life with Jesus. Several weeks ago, Lynn preached about the wonder of Christmas. And he talked about that the wonder of knowing Christ, the wonder of knowing that we are part of God's family, and how it is easy for us, as the years go by, to sort of begin to lose the luster of that wonder. He shared a quote about how we can begin to lose, to reach the point that we are no longer astonished by what God has done for us. And maybe we're no longer amazed by God's love. And, you know, if we're not astonished and we're not amazed, then why bother sharing it, right? We need these opportunities to be rekindled in that wonder, rekindled in that astonishment. And watching new Christians, watching people who are just learning to know Jesus, who are just capturing the reality that they are loved by God, deeply loved by God and wanted as one of his children, watching that is a beautiful way to rekindle that wonder. So Evelyn, thank you for sharing about the lift that you've seen in Nancy and that glow that you spoke of. So that wonder, that delight, brings me to my last story for the day. This story was shared by a person at Slate Hill who is a public school teacher. And she had told me about a child in her class who lives in poverty and experiences a lot of the trauma that sometimes goes along with that, a lot of acting out behaviors that sometimes goes along with that. And the teacher had told me, I'm trying to love well. I'm trying to choose my responses in ways that don't cause more negative feelings from the other children to this girl. And she was remaining patient and kind of toughing it out through the fall. And she also told me that this girl often carries things with her. She often has belongings that need to be close to her. And one day, what she was carrying was some cards. And on the way out the door of the classroom, headed to art class, she handed her teacher a card. And the teacher took a glance at it and thought, oh, thank goodness. Despite this recent move that this family had had, this child is still connected to her church family. She had been wondering if, even after they moved, they were able to maintain that connection, but she felt in her role in the public school, she couldn't really bring that up. But now this card assured her that that was the case. And she set it aside and went on to other tasks, but then something on it caught her eye. And she saw that in the corner of it, this little girl had written in her own handwriting, are you saved? Or this girl, not a real little girl, but had written, are you saved? And the teacher was really touched. So later in the day, when she had an opportunity, she brought the child aside and said, thank you for giving me this card. And the girl smiled and looked at her. And she said, did you write this here? And the girl nodded and said, yes, I did. Are you? Are you saved, Miss Teacher? Bold as could be. And this is my favorite part. When the teacher answered, yes, I am saved, the girl literally jumped for joy. She clapped her hands, she smiled, she said, I am so glad that you are saved too. She had not lost her wonder. And despite all of the challenges in that child's life, she knew joy in Jesus. She knew that there is a wonder in being a child of God. And the teacher said, this little girl was actually experiencing emotion for me. Like, she was joyful on my behalf because she learned that I knew Christ. The little girl had kept her wonder, and her joy was contagious. Is yours? Is mine? Take a moment to draw to your mind the wonder of what God has done for you. Take a moment to tap into that memory. Perhaps you can remember life before and after walking with Jesus. Some of us have life paths where that is the case. Perhaps you can marvel at the infinite love of God that just keeps reaching out to you over and over again. Perhaps you can call back to mind the wonder of Christmas because of the wonder of Christ. The wonder of what it is to be called a child of God as we celebrated this Christmas. Grab hold of that wonder, because despite who you were, God loved you. God chose you. God calls you to be light of the world, to be a city on a hill which cannot be hidden. So let your light shine before men, that they may praise your Father in heaven. Let's pray. God, we wonder at you. Sometimes we wonder at you in lots of ways, but we are filled with wonder as we look at the way that you have loved us. We look at the way that you continually reach out to us. And when we turn our backs and we turn in wrong directions, you still are there waiting. You still are there wanting to meet our need, wanting to give us a better life. God, you have broken our chains. You have removed our pain in ways that the earth cannot, so that even as we still bear the pain that comes from living in this place, we bear it with you journeying with us, and we are experiencing what it is to have our burdens lifted. God, we have been saved by you, so now we are called to testify. Help us to be able to be a light of the world that can tell all we meet that you are the chain breaker. Amen.